Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.
Aaron's proven, you know, he's won a Super Bowl, many championship games. He's a winner. I think what I've always appreciated about him, what everybody does, is his ability to throw a football and pass it. It's like in Aaron in his prime, to me, is the greatest passer of the football the league's ever seen. He could get the ball from point A to B faster and more accurate than any player, I think, in the history of the NFL.
And this is where we will start. 4 days away from Steelers and Jets. Aaron Rodgers going back to that very messy, very sad chapter of his life where he got injured and then stunk last year. 5-12 season, the worst of his career. And he is a Steeler, decked out in black and gold, trying to become Packers Aaron Rodgers all over again and prove that it was more the Jets and less of him that led to such low tide seasons in New York, which they've had many, no playoff victory since 2010. And Aaron Rodgers will talk later on today. He will talk about his first game in a Steelers uniform, and we will have those comments for you. We're also waiting on Cam Hayward. Steelers practice. They're just getting onto the field now. We'll have video coming out in the next half hour. I'm hearing we're going to get good video. Putting my birdies and putting my boots on the ground, my minions, my moles.
Good
to the
video,
test here.
As in it's going to be good for talk radio, my man. In the words of Ron Cook, and it's going to be scandalous?
It's going to be what fans want.
He's
it's going to be what fans want to see. Yeah.
Okay. Well, sometimes I think what fans want and what might be good for talk radio are two different things.
I want to just.
I'm so glad we had it. Great work.
I want to give people a chance to tell us what kind of season they think Aaron Rodgers will have to start today's show at 412-928-9370 in lieu of him talking and in lieu of what Tom Brady said about Rodgers this week, calling him the best thrower of the football ever. Tom Brady once again proving that he was a much better quarterback than he is analyst of football, because he's wrong about those things. He's not the best thrower of the football ever. That would be Dan Marino. And I would argue that Patrick Mahomes is probably even better than Rodgers in terms of an arm talent,
eye test guy. I'm not sure I agree with either of those two statements. I think Marino has the quickest release ever. And he had an elite arm, but the release made it even better.
Yep.
Very ball
downfield
out,
accurate, incredible velocity.
Ball out, very quick. But Marino, I would argue, known mostly for ball out like instantaneously. Just there was no wind up. If Byron Leftwich is one end of the spectrum, then Dan Marino exists
and
at the
crazy
other
arm strength for Marino.
He did. He had great arm strength. I don't think Brady's that off the mark, though. I think Rodgers at his prime, very quick release.
He's in the conversation.
He absolutely,
I don't think
has,
he's the right guy,
he
though.
Has made throws in his career where I think you can legitimately say, like the combo of mobility, him having these throws on the run.
Yeah.
Maybe, and I say maybe Mahomes could have made them, but there are a couple Aaron Rodgers joints in his highlight list where it might just be the list of players who are capable of executing that pass is the guy you just saw do it.
And then he said a guy that's won championship games. No, he's won one. He's got one championship game and one Super Bowl win in his book. He's been to one Super Bowl. So by definition, he's won one conference championship game. He's played in a lot. I don't call wild card games and divisional round games championship games, do you?
Well, they're by definition not.
No. So
wait, who's saying that they are?
He just said that. He said a guy that's won a lot of championship games. No, he hasn't. He hasn't won a lot of them. He's won one. And for years, when we would debate Ben Roethlisberger's place in the pantheon of great quarterbacks, that would be something Steelers fans would use for Ben in this argument against guys like Aaron Rodgers. Ben wins the big games. Aaron Rodgers beat Ben in the biggest of games, but that's really it for him. But that's me getting sidetracked and just wanting to get on Brady for things. What kind of season do I think Aaron Rodgers will have? Here are the numbers I have in my head right now.
Okay.
I have 21 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 3,100 yards.
So you have him going under the yardage number that Vegas set. How many games do you have him starting?
I have him missing 4 to 5 games.
Okay.
Not because he gets benched. Not because
injury.
Yeah, I don't see a 41, soon to be 42-year-old quarterback making it through an 18-week, 17-game season.
He did make it through all 17 last
did.
Year.
The thought
is that he is going to be healthier this year than he was the year before coming
sure,
fresh
his
off
Achilles,
the Achilles
might be, but his ability to withstand hits in the NFL, like Brett Favre's elbow or Achilles had nothing to do with Arthur Motes picking him up and slamming him against the turf and causing his career to come to an end.
Do you think Arthur was nice about it? Because Arthur's like the nicest, most gregarious guy ever. I wonder if he just said, I'm sorry, Brett.
I looked at the guys, because we were just doing this yesterday with Nelly. I looked at the guys who are ahead of Rodgers on the all-time passing yardage stats, including Ben, who's fifth all-time. And I wanted to look to see what were they doing at Aaron Rodgers' age. Big Ben was 3 years into retirement doing a podcast with a guy named Spence. Phillip Rivers was 3 years into retirement having another kid and coaching a high school football team.
Dadgum, frick.
Brett Favre was a year into retirement, was probably getting in trouble for embezzling money or something like that. Peyton Manning was three
Allegedly.
Thank
I would
you.
Like to,
because
yeah,
he
like
sues people for those things.
Yeah, I'd like to indemnify
Please,
this
thank
show.
Thank you, thank you. Allegedly, reportedly, no
it's
facts.
Been, it's been, it, well, just let's stick with allegedly here.
Okay. Peyton Manning, 3 years into retirement, was doing the Manning cast of rave reviews. Drew Brees, a year into retirement, so bad at broadcasting, he got fired after 1 year. And then Tom Brady. Tom Brady was in New England at that age, and it was his last year there before he went on to have an amazing second life in Tampa Bay, which is what Aaron Rodgers is going for. My point is, literally, outside of Tom Brady, the greatest of the greats, the 0.1% of the best quarterbacks of all time, we're all into retirement or years into retirement at this point, which is why I'm saying I don't see Aaron Rodgers playing the whole season, and I don't think his numbers are going to be great. You? What say you, Mulls?
I have a weird thing where if I try to conceptualize a year in which he gets injured, it's going to sound funny to you. Like, you kind of went with the half measure, and I think it's either he plays 17 games again or in some insane situation he only starts 16 because they're locked up in a playoff spot or something, they can play Rudolph and rest him for a game, which would be, my God, you want to talk about like the best possible scenario. I just don't think there's a scenario where he like misses a handful with like a, I don't know.
But you don't think that scenario exists where a 42-year-old man gets
scenario,
dinged up?
I think the scenario is he either gets like clobbered and basically turns to dust like the Crypt Keeper right before our eyes, or he plays the whole season.
You don't think knees or elbows or ankles or anything like that for a man in his 40s?
I just have a weird feeling that it's either all or nothing on the injury
Well, you
front.
Can have a weird feeling, but to say that that scenario doesn't
no,
exist
not.
Is pretty
yeah,
far-fetched.
I guess implicit in what I'm saying should be, I understand that it's absolutely plausible, if not likely. I just, for some reason, am having trouble envisioning him like tweaking a hamstring or something. And, well, I'm going to miss 2 weeks, but then I'll be back. Because it's like once he hits the bench, I just wonder if he's going to wither. I think he's going to play all 17.
Okay.
I think he's going to have 3,600 yards passing.
That's still fewer than New York last year.
I know, but that's part and parcel with the fact that I think they're going to ask him to do less on a in between the 20s basis. I think they're going to try to run the ball more. And
is it going to be successful?
Not as much as they'd like early in the year, but I actually have like a small optimistic belief that they're going to start getting it going as the games go on.
Who is the optimism with? Arthur Smith's play calling,
I think
his schemes,
they,
the offensive line
I believe
personnel,
in
the running backs?
I ultimately believe in the line. Okay. I ultimately believe in the line. I do, because I think Jones quietly had a solid preseason after everyone was watching his every move, and you started to hear basically nothing one way or the other about him, which
yeah,
I thought...
I do think he...
No news was good news.
I agree with
front.
That. I think he has positive momentum
and
going
into the
season. And
I think Fautanu has positive momentum. He's going to be an injury concern for me until I see him like actually last a whole season, but I think he's got positive momentum. I like the interior of the line. I do. And so I think as the season gets going, they're going to play well. So I'm going to say this, 3,600 yards. I think he's going to throw 23 touchdowns, and he's going to throw 7 picks. Because I think what he's going to do, I think they're going to be good at running the ball.
Yeah, that's
even
still
in
not that good
20s,
of a season, Chris.
But I think he's going to be very sharp in the red zone. I think that's going to be the difference. I think where you will see his impact. You know what? I'm upping it. Give it to 25 touchdowns and 7 picks.
Okay, that's still fewer than last year with the Jets.
That's okay. 25 touchdowns, 7 picks. And I think the thing that is going to be a big difference maker is you're going to notice that when this team does get into the red zone, his experience, his decisiveness, his ball placement, the arm still having zip, will manifest them in them being a sharp team in the red zone. So 3,600, 25, 7, and just nebulously, very solid-looking red zone offense from them.
Can I just tell you, though, the season that you literally described to a T?
Ben Roethlisberger in 2021.
I didn't look that up. That's pretty much Russell Wilson's last year in Denver.
Yeah, 26-8, right?
Yeah.
Was he good in the... Yeah, and he was elite in the red zone.
Yeah, he was a red zone legend that year.
He was.
He was a red zone star.
Yeah, I guess...
So we're getting Denver Russ. Let's ride, baby!
Oh, here we go.
Steelers country! Let's ride, says Ballsy in 2025.
I think very ironically, when Rodgers takes shots this year, he's going to be more successful than Russ.
I thought Russ was good at that last year.
You missed it. That one.
Whoosh. Oh, that was a... Okay.
Whoosh.
Donnie, what are you expecting? What kind of season will Aaron Rodgers have in 2025?
I'll go 3,450 on the yards.
Okay. So fewer than Ballsy.
I'll go 27-9 on the touchdowns to picks. It's like a 3-1 ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, what was your touchdown number?
I have 21. So you also have him playing all 17 games then.
How many picks, Pony? 9?
I have 9, yeah.
I feel like it's tough, and I'm not, you know, getting on you for doing this because he is an old man playing quarterback.
Hearing you say that makes me not feel good. He is an old man.
I mean, football.
In football years, he's
ancient.
Friggin' Methuselah.
No,
bro.
I know. I always think of that old...
He's Abraham.
Donnie, have you ever seen that old tweet? Oh, Abraham lived till he was 900. That old tweet, it's like...
He's trying to be Lazarus.
I'm 35. I've got my whole life ahead of me. And then you turn on a sporting event. He's 32. A miracle. The oldest player in the league.
Yeah, so it's just hard to predict, like, oh, this guy, he's old. He's going to miss X amount of games. So I'm just going to assume he plays at least 15 of the 17. So I'll go with those numbers.
Nate, our buddy, who's now, I think, licked his wounds from the North Carolina loss. Thank you, Pony. Keep the pessimistic Rodgers takes coming. Thank you, King. He already thinks that you're putting the good Maloik on him, that your skepticism
Maybe.
About his overall numbers is going to foretell a true renaissance season for the old man.
Fair enough. I mean, if people think that I'm doing a public service here, that's fine.
If he were to play a full season, what do you think the numbers would look like?
I think they're a little bit better. I think he probably throws for like 25 touchdowns, but I think the interceptions will go up. I'm sorry. I just think that we still have conflicting personalities on offense. You've got Aaron Rodgers, who wants to be not gunslinger like Ben because he doesn't throw interceptions like Ben, but a guy that primarily has the ball in his hands on every play versus Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin that want to go back to 1975. And I want to see how that jives, especially when we didn't really get a taste for it at all. Not that they would like show their hand in the preseason, but I still want to see what wins out. I mean, Mike was fine with being aggressive, throw the ball coach when he had Ben in his prime, and he had AB and Le'Veon Bell, but they haven't built this team that way. It's DK Metcalf and a bunch of tight ends, and a coach, an offensive coordinator, who's not known for ever developing any kind of like high-flying passing attack. It's always been give the ball to the running back and see what he can do. The guy's got a job in the NFL calling plays and was a head coach because of Derrick Henry.
He got the most out of Ryan Tannehill, though. And Ryan Tannehill had 3,800 in 33 touchdowns in 2020.
And I've said that too, but Ryan Tannehill taking a back seat to Arthur Smith and being fine with a run-first offense is different from Aaron Rodgers doing that. Ryan Tannehill being willing to ride in the sidecar or go shotgun is different from Aaron Rodgers doing that. Maybe Aaron does it. He's surprised me with some things
Aaron,
so far.
I think Aaron and Arthur Smith, I actually am weirdly optimistic just from the way I've heard Rodgers talk and what I've said pretty consistently, that he just strikes me as a more authentic football guy. I think he and Smith actually could bond over that. And what I'm actually optimistic about, and I've said this a bunch, but I'll reiterate it today as we're so close to the start of the season, I think his resume is going to compel Mike Tomlin to actually take his hands off of 10-2 at the steering wheel and let Rodgers do his thing more than he even let Russ do his last year.
Here,
I do.
Here is Emmanuel on the fan with his Aaron Rodgers expectations. Hello, Emmanuel.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My expectations for the season will be very similar to Ben's 2020 year, the COVID year. I got him throwing for about 28 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and 3,800 yards. again, it's going to come down to our defense and our running game. That's going to determine how far we go into the playoffs. Yes, we're making the playoffs this year.
What's the record, Emmanuel?
Unfortunately, because of Baltimore, they're the best team I think is going to be in the AFC, the whole entire AFC conference. We're not going to win the division, but we'll go 11-6.
And do they win a playoff game?
Depending on the matchups. I have yes against the Chargers. That's the way I have it as of right.
Can I ask you this? When you say it depends on the matchups, is it basically they can beat the Chargers if they get in, if
so
they play
wait a
anybody
minute.
Time else
out.
They
he
can?
Just buried a huge lead here. You think the Chargers are winning the AFC West and the Steelers are going there for a playoff game? You think the Chiefs are finishing in second place?
Yes, I made my predictions. The Chiefs, they're going to have a Super Bowl hangover, and their schedule is tough as heck.
So the Steelers are going to have a better season than the Chiefs?
The Chiefs are not going to win a division. The
okay,
Chargers
so
are.
If the Chargers are and the Chiefs are in the wild card round and the Steelers are winning a playoff game, then you're telling me the Chiefs are going to go out before the Steelers do.
I have the Chiefs playing the Broncos, the 5-4.
You don't, because you have the Chargers winning the division, so they can't play each other in the first round. Now you're completely flustered, Emmanuel.
You got me flustered, but I have the Chiefs as the fifth seed. They'll be playing the Texans, and the Steelers will be the sixth playing against the Chargers. The Baltimore Ravens.
The Broncos will be the seven playing
okay,
against
so
the
correction.
Two.
The Steelers will have the same season as the Chiefs this year.
Yeah.
But got it. Thank you. That's all I needed to hear. That's where we've gone. That's where we're at with preseason predictions 4 days before the season starts. The team that's gone to three straight Super Bowls and has won the division 9 times in a row, and last I checked, Donnie, do they still have Patrick Mahomes?
They do. And Andy Reid.
Okay, they still have Mahomes and Andy Reid. Our callers are saying the Steelers will be just as good as the Chiefs, and Aaron Rodgers will get them to that point. Do you agree or disagree? 412-928-9370.
Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Bull, not only in terms of arm strength and accuracy, but his ability to release the ball from a variety of places. You know, his game management expertise and experience is very evident. His line of scrimmage play, weaponizing of cadences, etc. His above-the-net game is very unique. It's been a good process, but the proof is in the pudding. I'm sure he's excited about getting into a stadium with us and quarterbacking for us, and I know I'm excited about seeing it.
Fan Outlines presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. In about 10 minutes, we'll start to get video from Steelers practice. I'm hearing that Cam Hayward is out there and is all systems go. We'll see if my moles and minions are giving me false information or if it's true that he is practicing. Did not talk this morning. The Steelers media cognoscenti saying that it's Thursday mornings for Cam in 2025. So, nothing to see here in terms of like him blowing them off or not wanting to talk today. I did hear that if Chris Boswell doesn't talk to the media this week, he will be fined by the NFL. He has not talked at all, but now that it's game week, if he gets asked for, if they want to ask him what the heck happened to your holdout, he does have to talk. So maybe that comes up. We get some light shed on that situation this week as well. We've got callers chiming in now with the optimistic oxygen in the air of a Steelers season on the horizon and them being 0-0 and having brought in Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, Jalen Ramsey, and Darius Slay, expecting big things. Emmanuel saying the Steelers are going to finish with the same season as the Chiefs this year. They're going to be just as good as the Chiefs.
I think the Chiefs could have a harder run of it. A couple of reasons. We now know there's four big boy coaches. Whether you think Pete Carroll lost the touch, he definitely has had it at one point. He has been a Super Bowl winner. Sean Payton, Super Bowl winner in that conference. Like Jim Harbaugh came damn near close to doing it, lost to his brother, has won a national title.
So you agree with him?
I just think there's four big boy coaches now in that division. I also happen to think, and I think you agree with me on this, I think Geno Smith's a good football player.
He has not had a losing season since 2014 in the NFL. He had a winning record every year in Seattle. So is that your way of saying you agree?
You think
the Steelers and Chiefs will have the same season?
No, I think the Chiefs are still better and will be a little bit better in the regular season. But it's going to be tough for them to
how about
just
in the
roll
playoffs?
Through. I'm always going to take Patrick.
Donnie,
Mahomes
how about
and
you?
Andy
you? You smoking what Emmanuel's passing around the doobie line?
I mean, he's not alone
the
in that.
Line. Well, I'm like, not asking other people. I'm asking you, man. You're the ball knower.
No, I'm saying like I don't think he's just like out to lunch thinking that the Chiefs won't win their division, but I think it's more people like hoping than anything. I'm not going to get too cute with it. They still have maybe the best quarterback on the planet, certainly the best one for me in a big game. I know he got blown out in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
They still have a legendary head coach.
Brady got blown out in a Super Bowl. It happens. You go to enough of them, you're not going to win every single one.
And the defense is always better than it gets credit
Absolutely.
For.
The defense has less than the Steelers, and they do more, which drives me nuts, and it's a testament to Spagnuolo as a defensive mind.
As competitive as the division could be, I'm not going to pick anybody besides the Chiefs until they prove it.
I do think Emmanuel was right about something he said. I think that the Steelers would, as an organization, sign up for Rodgers being 2020 Ben. Which was really a great story for about 13 or 14 weeks, and then it went completely off the rails. But if he gets you that, I mean, if it's honestly, if it looks like last year,
Pony, what Super Bowl did Brady get blown out in? He didn't get blown out in any. He's never lost one by more than 8 points. The Eagles game was 41-33.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess
he's never been blown out. I took immediate exception to that.
Yeah, I guess he didn't get anything like.
No,
Mahomes
he didn't get
did.
He blew out Mahomes, yeah, man. He was right. The one who did it.
Fair enough.
Anyway, don't want to get bogged down in the muck here, but I do kind of. That's why I said that.
I think they'd sign up for 2020 Ben or 2024 Russell Wilson.
That's a pretty low clearinghouse or low bar because 2020 Ben, by the end of the year, we all knew did not look like.
Well, what about this schedule makes anybody think that history's not going to repeat itself? December and January is an absolute bitch, man. It is. It's tough.
It's a very hard schedule.
It's super tough again. So,
I think that's a question that you should just be posing for people at 412-928-9370. Go look at their schedule. It looks brutal the last 2 months of the year. Why do people feel more optimistic about them?
Here is Gavin on the fan. Hello, Gavin.
Hey, how you doing? How you guys doing?
We're good, brother.
I got to agree with Emmanuel. I don't think it's the Steelers taking a giant step up at all. I think it's the Chiefs taking a step down because think about how many teams are going to take a big step up this season.
Wait a minute, time out. So you agree that the Steelers are going to be just as good as the Chiefs?
I think the Chiefs are going to be just as bad as the Steelers.
Come on, dude. Based on what? Are the quarterbacks
equal? Their biggest
Let's time out. Let's play a game with me. Let's compare things and you tell me where the Steelers are better, okay? Head coach.
Chiefs.
Quarterback.
Chiefs.
Skill position players.
Chiefs, unless we had a wide receiver too, like a decent one.
Which they're not going
defense.
To.
Defense could be debatable this year. I'm not sure.
Okay, that's fine. So everything was Chiefs until defense up in the air. And you're saying these two teams are equal? What is wrong with you?
We've also seen Mahomes also have a rival with the Raiders of all people and have problems with the Broncos.
And we've seen the Steelers go to the Browns and lose to them in Cleveland the last few years.
We have one of the most competitive divisions in the NFL. That's the only excuse I have. Any team that comes to play any of our teams.
Kansas City was in a division where three teams made the playoffs last year and they still went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I'm talking about this next coming year. I think the Chiefs are going to struggle against teams that added to their roster completely.
So they're going to struggle against the Broncos and Chargers?
Definitely.
Oh, my God. I don't want to feel like I'm doing Chiefs radio here, but what has happened to our listeners? 2-for-2, the Steelers are going to be the same as the Chiefs this year?
Would you say that at the very least, the Raiders upgraded at both head coach and quarterback?
Absolutely.
And would you say that another year in the Harbaugh program for the Chargers should make them better?
No, I don't think that.
Don't think so? Okay.
They lost their best player other than Herbert's injury.
Slater's awesome. Slater's awesome.
That'd be like the Steelers losing T.J. Watt before the season started. Slater blocked pass rushers 529 times last year. He gave up 3 total sacks. He had, I think, the highest pass blocking grade on PFF. With Trent Williams getting hurt, he had pretty much turned himself into the best left tackle in football. He's gone. Like, I just don't think a team gets over that. So I don't think they'll be as good.
What about the Broncos in year 2?
You know, I like
Peyton,
but they didn't beat any good teams last year. I'm still the jury, I think, is out on them.
Shouldn't a quarterback typically make a leap in year 2? Now, Stroud didn't, but...
Sure, but let me ask you this question. Who's he getting the ball to?
Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, 700 yards last year.
RJ Harvey, who is going to go wild because I drafted him in my fantasy leagues.
I was right. Cam Hayward out there practicing. I'm seeing the Faribault videos I'm seeing other people posting.
I was about to say, if it was up in the air still, we'd say, is Cam Hayward out there on the goal line practicing?
Kabali, Cam Hayward doing work. It's him in pads.
I heard Kabali had an electric segment with Starkey for Word Association for NFL Awards. I heard he was just pulling names out of the abyss for those awards.
Nick Herbig also in pads practicing today. Tomlin called him questionable.
Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.
Fans, call in now and flex your intellectual muscle. 412-928-9370. Show the guys how much you know by stumping them with a trivia question that will bring them to their knees and cause their sports minds to explode. Yeah.
You can listen to the PM Team on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Yes, the segment has been dubbed The Fan versus the Fans. The three of us, Pony, Muller, Donnie versus you. A chance for you to call in, ask us a sports trivia question. If you're right, congratulations on all your success, but there might be big things in the works here with this segment.
Really?
Yeah.
Big things afoot.
Mm-hmm.
I just am distracted. I love the intro there. I like the ominous voice. And then I think he used the scream. Donnie, you played a lot of video games like me. When you would like jump off a cliff in some N64 games, I think that's the sound that would play. Yeah!
He did throw out a cue to call, 412-928-9370. The first man who has answered that siren call is the leader of our lunatic fringe and a man you see all over our YouTube channel, who is basking in the glow of Ohio State 14, Texas 7.
I'll say he is.
JTB, Johnny the Barber.
Do you hear it? Do you hear the greatness? Do you, Chris, soak that in. Soak that in. They don't have that at Penn State. Soak that in for a second.
They don't have a fight song at Penn State?
Not one anyone wants to listen to.
Why are you picking Penn State, Johnny? You've listened to this show long enough to know that like one of the most famous things about me right after I don't eat pizza or melted cheese is that I went to Penn State and literally don't root for them at all.
You're like the only person I know legitimately at the station that legitimately graduated from Penn State.
Are you saying that Austin has a fake degree?
I mean, you've heard his takes. Would you want to think that he went to a place of higher learning? I mean, come on. I mean, that's terrible.
Where did you get your barber degree?
I got my barber degree in a small barber school in Cincinnati.
Hmm. Now, you got a mortuary sciences degree from Ohio State, so you are a learned man.
No, I got a degree in pathology from Ohio State.
Mortuary sciences was somewhere else, correct?
All right, the way this works is, Johnny, you pick the host you want to ask the question to, and then fire away.
Man. Is Donnie included on this?
Oh, yes,
or,
he is.
Anyone?
He's in the octagon here, trapped right with you, Johnny.
Here we go.
Come on, and catch some of this barber smoke, Donnie. We're gonna educate you up here.
All right, let's hear it.
Let me see. Name me three Ohio State quarterbacks that started a game for the Steelers.
Ooh. Oh. Okay.
Oh.
I kind of like that.
Justin Fields, that's the Uno.
Yep, easy that's the layout.
Uno, Dos, Trace, Catorce.
You got that one.
Ooh. Oh, no. Oh, I got one. I got one in the chamber here. Can't help you, though. I know another one.
I do not think. I mean, I have no clue where some of the guys in the 90s went.
This is, by the way, Johnny, this is regular season games.
Yes, regular season.
Yes, it is.
Real games.
Regular season games.
Big boy games that count.
Was Tom Zach an OSU guy?
Yes.
There's two.
Yes, you did get that.
One more? Yes, I will. Yeah, but that wouldn't surprise me that you got it. Let's see if you get the third one. Make sure he's not looking on a computer screen.
No, we know he's legit.
In the meantime, what did you think of Arch Manning's debut, Johnny?
Oh, geez. I haven't seen a Texas plowed like that since Alexis. Man, that was terrible. Oh, my gosh. Like, Texas Keith, you need to send me a Father's Day card. Texas Keith is like Punxsutawney Phil. He literally pokes his head up, gets the sunlight shined on him, and just goes right back in his hole to get beat by Ohio State for another year.
I was wondering where I haven't seen a Texas get plowed like that was going, and man, did he not find a way to bring
Donnie,
it around.
Donnie, did you give up?
My last guess is I don't think this guy's right. I'll go with Kent Graham.
You got it.
Yeah!
You got it. Oh! No way.
Oh,
no
my
way.
God.
Really
impressive.
My
holy
man.
Cow.
I didn't type anything in.
No,
I didn't
saw the YouTubes.
Well, he is an adopted member of the Ohio State football family.
Yeah, you're a man of honor. You said you weren't looking. You weren't looking. Man, you nailed that on the head.
Tony, I couldn't remember that he went there. I was stumped sitting
started
over there
started at
quietly.
Notre Dame and transferred to Ohio State.
Had the widest ass of any quarterback I think you said you've ever seen, Pony.
Which also ties into something else Johnny said on this call. Anything else, Johnny?
O-H-I-O.
Donnie, hell of a pull, man. Wow.
Next up in the fan versus the fans, our number two fan, Jeff in South Park. Hello, Jeff.
Scored a big win over Johnny in the caller bracket, so this is like a, can he outdo him in fan versus fans?
Jeff,
now?
Did you know that answer?
Did you? I did. Yeah. I did. I knew all three of them.
Congratulations on all your success.
Yeah, I have a big brain sometimes. A
couple of real ball knowers here chiming in.
All right, who do you want to challenge?
The 90s, I mean, because, okay, so Justin Fields is an easy one. And the other two guys, the 90s, that was my time. That was like where I'm at that age.
Would you say that was the best decade of your life?
The 90s, hell yes.
Like Donnie's dad says 83 was the best year, and it's been downhill ever since.
Jeff, who do you want to challenge here?
I am going to challenge Mr. Mulsey.
Okay, here we go.
All right. You ready?
No.
All right. With the 2025 Steelers season starting this weekend, it will be the 50th anniversary of the 1975 Super Bowl X winning team and the terrible towel. In the divisional playoff game that year against the Colts, where the terrible towel made its debut, who scored the longest fumble returned for a touchdown in NFL postseason history, a record that stood for 47 years to seal the game in the fourth quarter.
I feel like this is significantly more difficult than name three Ohio State quarterbacks who played for the Steelers in a starting role.
Not if you've gone back and watched these games, right, Jeff?
So this is one that they don't have the full game that you can find it anywhere. It's only got snippets of it. I always look for this game because I've always wanted to watch it, and they always have the 76 divisional game against the Colts, not the 75 one.
Or the plane crashed in the stadium at the end of the game.
Yes.
Okay, longest.
All sorts of things happening.
The guy who has the longest, until recently or whatever, the longest fumble return touchdown in NFL playoff history to seal that game.
You've definitely seen the highlight before, and you've definitely seen it talked about in, like, NFL films things on the Steelers from the 70s.
I've got, like, two names, and I'm not saying either one yet as my final answer. For some reason, the name Dwight White is in my brain.
Okay.
And he should have been on the Steelers by this. Donnie Schell came in my head. I'm going to say Dwight White.
Jeff?
You are incorrect. It was Andy Russell.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, if you watch the footage of that.
No, that's like, what. Jeff, it pisses me off that I got it
I love
wrong.
When you get pissed off.
No, because it's one of those ones where. No, I'm just being honest here. Like, it never came into my mind. The second you said Andy Russell.
Now you're remembering it.
It's like an insta-click for me.
So I guess Sports Illustrated had dubbed that as the longest, slowest touchdown ever witnessed. And if you watch that play, boy, is he lumbering. You would have thought it was lumbering. Dwight White bringing it up. Yeah.
Thank you, like, Jeff.
I think the touchdown run that Byron Leftwich had brings a pretty good argument
that
there.
That play still makes me laugh. Not laugh, but Leftwich just runs untouched, falls into the end zone, and basically broke his hip like he had osteoporosis because he fell into the end zone.
What replaced it as the longest defensive touchdown in NFL?
Oh, yeah, I know this one, too.
Are you talking about playoff fumble, like scoop and score?
Just playoff defensive touchdowns, yeah.
James Harrison in the Super Bowl.
Jeff?
So the record specifically was for a fumble return for a touchdown, and Harrison's was an interception. It was Sam Hubbard of the Bengals 2 years ago in the divisional round
against
the Ravens.
They tried to reach it over. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
No problem.
There you go.
All right. I feel like this has some legs. We had two elite callers right there ready to do battle.
Johnny, now we prime the pump for next week. Get your questions ready.
Johnny probably didn't have to search long and hard to do a Ohio State research. Yeah, I'm just going to do
a question.
I don't
think I would have gotten that one, Malzy.
I also was
expecting Jeff to come at me with like a hockey question because he knew it'd be an easy target.
No, I mean the barber put you in the barber's chair, and look at you wiggled out of there with Kent Graham.
Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.